Hello, church. It is wonderful to see all of you this morning. A warm hello to our Northeast Center and West Center friends, as well as our global friends. If you are new to church this morning, I want to greet you with love. We hope that you enjoy your time with us this morning. And we want to invite you to join us for a lunch fellowship with one of our life groups right after the service is over. Please feel free to approach our friendly ushers if you need assistance on this. Last week, Pastor Dennis shared about proposal ring. He shared that even though it was expensive, people were willing to invest in it. Friends, I have nothing against proposal ring. But somehow, I never proposed to my wife. I just assumed that she would marry me. And she married me because God told her so. It is indeed important to hear and obey what God says. Shall we pray together this morning? Lord, it is indeed important to hear and obey what you say. This morning, we ask you to open our spiritual ears that we may hear what you want to speak into our hearts and lives today. Please anoint the preaching of your word that it may lead people to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to part 3 of You Ask For It series, with the hot topic of how do I know I'm hearing from God? I was born into a non-Christian and a non-religious family in a city in Indonesia. As I look back at my childhood, I could see how God was trying to reach out to me, but I did not recognize His voice then. When I was 16 years old, I left Indonesia to further my studies in Australia. While I was there, I opened my heart to Jesus and received Him into my life. Then, unexpectedly, I began to recognize His voice speaking to me. For instance, previously, I would feel bored when I read the Bible. But after I received Jesus into my life, the Bible became alive to me as I read it. I remember bringing the Bible wherever I went, and God was speaking to me as I read the Bible. The Bible was answering many of my questions about life. Then, as a new believer, God gave me a dream. I was in my first year of university, and I was in my hostel room studying for my marketing exam. As I was studying, I felt asleep, and I had a dream. I dreamt of a big man holding a big book, and I was hanging at one corner of the book. The big man pointed his hand at part of the book and said, "Michael, this is going to be useful for you." With that, I was awoken, and two Bible verses were flashed in my mind, Ephesians 2:4 and Ephesians 4:1. Now, I was a new believer then, so I didn't know very much about the Bible. I knew that the book of John was in the Bible, but Ephesians? But since I dreamt about a big book, I decided to check it out. I opened up my Bible and discovered that Ephesians was really in the Bible. Ephesians 4:1 struck me that day. It says, "I urge you to live a life worthy for the calling that you have received." I understand that Ephesians 4:1 talks about God's general calling for all believers. But that day, the Spirit of God was using that verse to assure me that God had a calling for my life. A few years later, after much struggle, I recognized God's voice leading me to leave Australia. So I left Australia and landed in Singapore. In Singapore, I continued to recognize his voice, comforting me, assuring me, guiding me in various aspects of my life. I will share some of the stories later. If you notice, I use the phrase, I recognize God's voice again and again, and that's intentional. I want to make it clear and upfront today that the problem is not that God is not speaking. The problem is that we are not hearing well. God is speaking, and we need to learn to recognize His voice. Friends, we must understand that God wants to speak to us much more than we realize. In the Old Testament, the phrase, "Thus says the Lord," was repeated over 4,000 times. In the New Testament, Jesus kept repeating this phrase, "But I tell you," or "But I say unto you," in another translations. In the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelations, the following phrase is repeated again and again. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Can you see the triple emphasis there? He who has an ear, let him hear, the Spirit says. The problem is not that God is not speaking. The problem is that we are not hearing well. And because we are not hearing well, we would need to sharpen our spiritual ears. We would need to learn to tune to God's frequency. The following video will illustrate it more. So let's watch it together. Thank you, MM. Oh, Carol.
Good morning, my son. I want you to know that I love you deeply. I know.
On the roads, watch out for an accident on the TPE towards the PIE before the...
Coming up next, we have some Lana Del Rey, Ariana Grande, and...
Hello, my beloved daughter. Today, I want you to visit Auntie Ming to pray for her as she is going through a very tough time. She hasn't been sleeping well.
Yes, please check out JM33.3. And in case some people are wondering, JM stands for Jeremiah. The video talks about the existence of different frequencies. This implies on the existence of different voices. A psychologist claims that there are around 10,000 thoughts entering our mind every day. This means that there are around 10,000 voices that we hear in our mind every day. These voices come from different sources. Some of them are God's voices, some of them are Satan's voices, and some of them are human voices, be it our voices or other people's voices. So how do I know if I'm hearing God's voice? Allow me to share with you three practical pointers today. How do I know I'm hearing from God? Firstly, I know it because God speaks to me through the Bible. 2 Peter 1, 9 to 21 clearly implies that God speaks to us through Scripture. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretations of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets through human spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The prophetic message here probably refers to a collection of oral and written prophecies. It may refer to both Old Testament and New Testament prophecies, but it is likely that it refers specifically to Old Testament prophecies. Whatever the case is, Apostle Peter explained that each prophecy of Scripture does not originate from men, but from God. God is speaking to us through His prophets, but it is God who is speaking. This is true for the prophecies of Scripture, and this is true for the entire Scripture written in the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Our entire Bible is God-breathed. It is divinely inspired by God. God is speaking to us through the Bible to teach us, rebuke us, correct us, train us, guide us, comfort us, encourage us, and to communicate His heart, His thoughts, and His ways to us. This means that if we want to hear God's voice, then we cannot neglect the Bible. This means that if we want to recognize God's voice better, then we would need to be more familiar with the Bible. A very important question to ask ourselves is this: why do I want to hear from God? Why do I want to hear God's voice? I believe that one major reason why people want to hear from God is to understand God's will for their lives. There are different ways to explain the concept of God's will. For the purpose of my sharing today, I will categorize God's will into general will and specific will. God's general will refers to God's will for all Christ followers. It is the same will for evangelist Billy Graham. It is the same will for Pastor Jeff. It is the same will for you and me. Some examples of God's general will include loving God, loving people, and fulfilling the Great Commission. God's specific will is a subset of God's general will. It refers to God's unique will for each Christ follower within the boundary of His general will. And because it is a unique will, it is slightly different for one Christ follower to another. For examples, some examples of God's specific wills include the person we should marry if God wants us to marry, the schools we are to study, the occupations we are to have, and the specific contributions God wants us to make towards the Great Commission. How does God reveal His will to us? God uses the Bible to reveal His general will to us. And God uses the Bible and other communication channels to reveal His specific will to us. Now, the truth about some Christ followers is that they simply ignore the general will of God as revealed in the Bible. They honestly don't care about the Bible. They are just interested in asking God to show them the specific will in the fastest and the most convenient way. Lord, please tell me who my Princess Charming is. Lord, should I study part-time this year? Lord, should I change job again? Lord, where should I go for holiday this year? Which airline has a good promotion? Please tell me, Lord. But when it comes to the Bible, it's so boring. Friends, if this is you, the question for you is this. If you are not interested to know about God's general will for your lives, is God obliged to reveal to you His specific will? Even if He decides to reveal it to you, will you actually obey it? I mean, if you don't have the desire to obey God's general will, then we will not have the desire to obey God's specific will. The truth about some believers is that they would need to grow their appreciation for the Bible and grow their desire to obey God's general will for their lives. Christ followers, God wants to speak to us through the Bible. The Bible is not only a collection of historical documents. The Bible is not only a divinely inspired writing. The Bible is also God's personal letter to His people. Through the Bible, God wants to communicate to us his heart, his thoughts, and his ways. Through the Bible, God wants to show us how we should live our lives on earth. I like how Tony Evans put it. The Bible is the voice of God in print. Do we want to hear God's voice? The Bible is the voice of God in print. If we want to hear God speaking to us, then we must read the Bible. Now, I mentioned earlier that God also uses the Bible to reveal His specific will for our lives, to reveal or to confirm. When I began to be attracted to my wife, my potential girlfriend then, I entered into a season of seeking God to ascertain if she was the one God had in mind for me. And while it was relatively silent when I was asking God for other girls, I discovered that God was speaking to me a lot about Lian Shu. Yeah, when she was younger. She's still young though. Now, one of the ways God was speaking to me was through scripture. So one day, I was reading the book of Proverbs when I arrived at Proverbs 19:14. Houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. The scripture kind of jumped at me, and I heard the witness of the Spirit within me that Lian Shu was the one for me. Now, I didn't know what the word prudent meant. So I asked my friend what it meant. He told me that prudent meant careful. One day, Lian Shu was helping me to buy a bag. And I noticed that she examined every part of the bag carefully. She was a prudent girl. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Many years ago, I went through one of the most difficult periods of my life. To cut a long story short, I had some relational conflicts with some individuals in the church, and I felt that a great personal injustice had been served against me. I remember walking and crying at the same time as I felt very hurt on the inside. One day, I was reading the book of 1 Corinthians and arrived at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7. The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means that you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wrong? Why not rather be cheated? The phrases, why not rather be wrong? Why not rather be cheated? Kind of jump at me. And understanding the context of the scripture, it came to me very clearly that in the eyes of God, the unity of the church and the testimony of the church were more important to God than my sense of personal injustice. And that settled it for me. It sounded harsh, but it somehow brought healing to my heart and enabled me to do what was right. I'm sharing these stories with some hesitancy, because there have been some wrong practices in using the Bible to seek God's guidance. One wrong practice is this. Lord, who should I marry? Judas. Wow, are you sure, Lord? John, that's more like it, Lord. Lord, everyone around me has been investing in properties. Should I also do it, Lord? Go and do likewise. Wow, cool, Lord. Then you must finance it, okay? Friends, this practice is not recommended. The Bible is not a fortune-telling book. A good rule of thumb is this. God can use a scripture to communicate His guidance. God can use a scripture to communicate His specific will. but he will never contradict his truth and principle found in that scripture. In the PGI example that I shared, God used the Bible first to confirm that Lian Chu was the one for me. The revelations of that specific will does not contradict God's truth found in that Bible verse that a prudent wife is a gift from the Lord. In the relational conflict example that I shared, God used the Bible verse to tell me that I should overlook the matter. The revelations of that divine guidance does not contradict God's truth in that Bible verse that God cherishes the unity and the testimony of the church. Some Christ followers forget that one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to remind us of God's truth. John 14, 26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Let us use our sanctified imaginations for a while. Just imagine that each one of us is a Google engine search. Say one day, we are facing a very difficult time and the Holy Spirit wants to remind us of a truth about God's peace. But as hard as the Holy Spirit is doing his Google search in us, there is only one scripture found in our heart and mind database, John 3:16. Then another day, we are asking God for his guidance for a major decision in life. And the Holy Spirit wants to remind us of a truth to give us a specific guidance. But as hard as the Holy Spirit is doing his Google search in us, there is still only one scripture found in our mind and heart database, John 3:16. So the Holy Spirit gives up. Yeah. And I'm just kidding, all right? The Holy Spirit doesn't give up easily. Now, please understand that I'm not trying to undermine John 3:16. John 3:16 is an incredibly important scripture in the Bible. The point is that the more Bible verses, the more scriptures, the more God's truth we deposit into our hearts and minds, then the more things the Holy Spirit can remind us of. The Bible is the voice of God in print. The more Bible is in us, the better we are in hearing and recognizing his voice. How do I know that I'm hearing from God? Firstly, I know it because God speaks to me through the Bible. Secondly, I know it because God speaks to me apart from the Bible. The Bible records numerous accounts of how God speaks to people apart from the scripture, but never contradicting the scripture. Some of the ways God speaks to people apart from the Bible based on biblical accounts and personal experiences include audible voice, dream, vision, impression, angelic visitation, circumstantial sign, godly counsel, and some other communication channels. Time does not permit us to expound these communication channels. As such, for those who are interested to learn more about them, I want to recommend the following book and course. The book I want to recommend is titled Surprised by the Voice of God by Jack Deere. It is not exactly a new book, but it is still one of the best books I've ever read on the topic of hearing God's voice. The course I want to recommend is our own Hope Sam course titled Foundations of Prophetic Ministry. As one of the instructors of this course, I want to assure you that all credit and audit students are welcome. And for those who are considering to be credit students, I want to assure you that it is a very easy course to pass and score. Trust me. But since many of us may not be able to read the book or attend the course, allow me then to quote some examples from the Bible and personal experiences to assure you that God is still speaking to us today apart from the Bible. In Genesis 37:3-11, God spoke to Joseph through a dream. Verse 9. Then Joseph had a dream and told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream. And this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. In Acts 9:3-6, God spoke to Saul through an audible voice. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice, an audible voice, say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. In Acts 16:9-10, God spoke to Paul through a vision. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. In Acts 27:23-24, God spoke to Paul through an angelic visitations. Last night, an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. One day in 2009, I was walking in Paya Lebar area when suddenly I heard God speaking to me through an impression. Stay in the east of Singapore. To cut a long story short, we obeyed and ended in Punggol. Yes, we consider Punggol to be in the east of Singapore. Northeast, but still east. We obeyed God's instruction without knowing the why. But as we look back, we understand the why better. I believe that one of the reasons God led us to stay in the east of Singapore was to help pioneer life groups in Punggol soon and support our church regionalization effort. I believe that another reason God led us to stay in the east was to direct our child to study in a primary school in the east of Singapore. One day, I was at the void deck of my block in Punggol when I saw a school bus entering our estate. The school name caught my attention. I Googled the school and liked it. Looking back, I believe that it was a circumstantial sign from God. Firstly, we totally didn't know about the existence of this school. Secondly, this school was not in Punggol, but still in the east of Singapore. With the support of my mentor, Pastor Jeff, and our then Family Life pastor, Pastor Hong Teck, we applied to be parent volunteers in this school. And we were accepted despite the acceptance rate of 20% during that year. We became more certain that God was leading us to send our child to the school. To cut a long story short, it became a two-year journey, a two-year faith journey, marked with a major unexpected detour. But it was a journey filled with precious lessons, not just for us, but also for people around us. And at the end, God provided a place for our child in that school. In May 2015, I heard God speaking to me through an impression, a church planting strategy for one creative access nation. I heard this from God. Find the right seed and train the right seed. So following that leading, a seven-month equipping program was brainstormed. Before launching the program, I discussed about the program with Pastor Jeff, and he gave me his blessing. The only thing was that we didn't have enough money in the church budget to run the program, as we initially didn't budget for it. But our God was the provider. One of my team members shared about the financial need to a group of students under her care. Following that, one student came to her and told her that she had always wanted to give to missions. She then gave $9,000 to the cause and supplied what we lacked to run the program. We ran the equipping program successfully. And some of our key leaders in that Creative Access Nation today were graduates of the program, a program that was birthed through God speaking apart from the Bible. Friends, God is still speaking to us today apart from the Bible. God is still speaking to us specifically about the details of our lives and ministries. I understand that some Christ followers may feel uncomfortable about this. Perhaps you have heard stories of people committing crimes and claim that they heard voices in their hearts, in their heads, telling them to do those criminal acts. Perhaps you have heard stories of people who behave in weird and unwise manner and claim that God told them to do so. And perhaps because of these abuses, you have decided to stay far away from the business of hearing from God. Friends, if this is you today, I want you to know that I understand your fear. However, we must remember that in order to solve a problem, we should not move from one extreme to another. If we do so, we are not solving, but switching problem. We do not want to switch problem. We want to solve the problem. And the truth is that God is still speaking today apart from the Bible. And the Bible itself affirms it. It affirms this truth. Having said that, it would be wise for us to apply some safety nets as we grow in the practice of hearing from God. One safety net is the safety net of the Bible. We must understand that God speaks to us apart from the Bible, but never contradicts the Bible. It doesn't matter if we hear an audible voice telling us to abuse somebody. It doesn't matter if an angel appears before us telling us to commit adultery. It doesn't matter how dramatic or powerful it is. If it contradicts the Bible, then it is not God's voice. We must understand that the Bible is the clearest revelations of God's will. Any other revelations received from other means must be tested against the Word. If it contradicts the Word, then it is not God's voice. One safety net is a safety net of the Bible. Another safety net is the safety net of godly counsel. Understand that sometimes we are afraid to speak to people about what we think we hear from God. We are afraid that they may not understand or believe us. If this is you, I want to gently remind you that godly counsel is a way God speaks to us. Whether we like it or not, whether we believe it or not, God speaks to us through people, especially godly people who love us and have responsibility over us. If this is you, I want to challenge you to trust in God's ability to confirm what He is speaking into your lives. If what you hear is from God, then it will normally stand the test of godly counsel, as our God is a consistent God. I also want to remind all of us that it is wise to receive multiple confirmations before making a major decisions in life, such as marriage, career switch, or migrating. Don't just dream about a hunk and marry him the next day. Don't just break off with a girl because you think God tells you so one beautiful morning. Do not make a major decision in life based on a single hearing from God. Ask God for confirmations and get some godly counsel. If you are hearing correctly from God, then you'll be hearing a consistent message because our God is a consistent God. Another safety net is a safety net of godly counsel. How do I know that I'm hearing from God? Firstly, I know it because God speaks to me through the Bible. Secondly, I know it because God speaks to me apart from the Bible, but never contradicts the Bible. Thirdly, and lastly, I know it because I have an intimate relationship with Christ. God does speak to people who are far away from Him. He is the great shepherd who is searching for His lost sheep. He's calling out to them, hoping that they will recognize His voice, respond to it, and return to Him. However, Christ followers who have an intimate relationship with Christ is best positioned to recognize His voice. But before I go there, let me respond to a common question that some Christ followers often ask. Can I hear God's voice? John 10, 3 to 5 and 27. The watchman opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they'll never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Can I hear God's voice? It's actually a wrong question. The right question should be, am I God's sheep? If the answer is yes, then yes, we can hear His voice. John 10 implies that sheep is expected to listen to the shepherd's voice and follow his leadings. But how can they follow the shepherd's leadings if they can't hear the voice of the shepherd? That would be contradictory. If we are God's sheep, then Christ is our great shepherd. As His sheep, we share a living relationship with the shepherd of our soul. And He would enable us to hear His voice so that we can follow Him. Am I God's sheep? If the answer is yes, then we can hear His voice. Now, if this is the case, the next question then is this. Why are some Christ followers hear God's voice more than others? Firstly, some Christ followers hear God's voice more because they are more familiar with God's word. I believe that the simplest way for some believers to hear God's voice is to put aside their smartphone for a time, pick up their Bible, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to them, and read the Bible systematically. I believe it is that simple, and I pray that some Christ followers will just do that after today's service. Secondly, some Christ followers hear God's voice more because they are more obedient. I believe that sometimes God withholds speaking to us because He knows that we will not obey Him anyway. So why bother speaking? I believe that sometimes God's silence is an act of God's mercy. If God tells us to do something and we disobey Him, then we are inviting God's judgment and discipline upon our own lives. I believe that some Christ followers hear God's voice more because they have a good track record of obedience. They have a good history of obeying God. And thirdly, some Christ followers hear God's voice more because they are willing to make time for God. They are willing to spend time with God. They are willing to sit at the feet of Jesus. They are willing to fellowship with Him. Revelation 3:20, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Many believers like to use this scripture in the context of outreach. they would talk to a pre-believer this way. Hey, so-and-so, do you know that Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart? Revelation 3:20 says so. Well, I believe that it is true that Jesus is knocking at the heart of every single pre-believer out there. As mentioned earlier, Jesus as the great shepherd is looking for his lost sheep. However, the context of Revelation 3:20 is not about outreach. This is as Revelation 3:20 was spoken to a group of believers and not pre-believers. I believe that Revelation 3:20 is God's invitation to believers to live a life of intimacy with him. Jesus said, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. In other words, Jesus wants to fellowship with us. Fellowship implies conversations. It implies dialogues. It implies talking and listening to each other's voices. And as we are fellowshipping with Jesus, we are learning to recognize his voice better and better. Friends, familiarity with God's voice is a byproduct of intimacy with God. Let me illustrate this further this way. I'm going to close my eyes for a while and listen.
Hello, Yong.
That's my dad's voice.
Yong.
That's my mom's voice.
Daddy.
That's my son's voice.
Dear.
That's my wife's voice.
Dear.
That's my wife's voice. She's angry. She's angry because I showed you guys her long hair photo. Yeah. How do I know that it is their voice? I know it because I'm familiar with their voice. I'm familiar with their voice because I share an intimate relationship with each one of them. Similarly, if we have an intimate relationship with Christ, we would be familiar with his voice. We just know that it is him. We can't really explain it, but we just know that it is him because we are familiar with his voice. Familiarity with God's voice is a byproduct of intimacy with God. So Christ followers, would you be willing to make time for God today? Would you be willing to sit at the feet of Jesus? Would you be willing to fellowship with Jesus? If you are willing, then you can be assured that you will hear his voice speaking to you through the Bible. If you are willing, then you can be assured that you will hear his voice apart from the Bible, but never contradicts the Bible. And as we hear his voice, let us live out what an old hymn says. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Shall we stand together and fellowship with Jesus this morning?